Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Were you expecting more? What's going on? Did you miss the sermon? It was there. I'll say it again. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours. Yours. Back there. Yours. All right. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours. No matter what. At no cost, for free. We are practically giving it away. Okay? Okay. You're still here. You don't have a better place to be, like the band shell. All right. Two men walk into a bar. One named Ferris and the other Axel. The first, Ferris, he sits down and says, "This round's on me. I had a good week. I met all my goals at my nonprofit. I paid all my bills. I gave money away. I scrimped. I saved. I have some left over. I'm so lucky to be able to share it." And the other, Axel, well, he orders one and then another and then puts the whole tab on Ferris's bill. Not that Axel couldn't afford it. He rolls deep. He's got more money than he knows what to do with. Just don't ask how we got it. The people, they admire Ferris. They like him. He's a good guy. Always does what is expected of him and more. It's Axel they're afraid of. Axel that they don't like. And for good reason. He's hurt people. He's hurt them. He's harmed them. Will he swindle them again? Will he shake them down for their last spare change? I mean, how dare he show his face in here again, they think. He doesn't belong. He's the wrong sort we want consorting with. But here he is, hat in hand, saying he's sorry, sitting at the farthest table, soaking up Ferris's good fortune. And the bartender just keeps pouring. The good stuff, top shelf. Pure oxygen. Did I mention this is an oxygen bar? Pure oxygen. Ferris, ever responsible, he stops after one. But Axel, whew, they have to peel him off the floor. And they do, sending him home in a cab, happy to be rid of him. Thank God I'm not like that, Ferris thinks. The bill comes due and Ferris winces. It's going to be big. Good thing I can cover it, he thinks to himself. But it's already been paid. And the barman sits and wipes the glasses, ready for the next round. Ferris is a good guy. He does good things. He does unto others as he would have them do unto him. Except they never do. So Ferris is always doing more. Covering more than his fair share, measuring twice, cutting once, giving glory to God for his goodness. Can anyone else relate? I know I can. He's like the Pharisee in that Jesus story. And Axel, not a good guy, doesn't deserve it, and yet he has given more than he could ever do with, goes home satisfied, like that tax collector. Have mercy on me, a sinner. You know, that's one of those prayers that's worth writing down. Have mercy on me, a sinner, when we've got nothing else to pray. But for both, your bill is paid. You are free to go. They call this the good news, but I can see why they don't call it great. This Jesus story, it's meant to be familiar, meant to illuminate what was already known, meant to sharpen expectations. Jesus is talking about how things work at the temple, who belongs, who deserves to be there. Of course the Pharisee is there, alone, visible to all, right in all that he does. And of course, the tax collector is in the shadows, wrong in all he does. The only problem is Jesus, because he's telling this story not to continue the expectations, but to upset them, to offend them, to turn them upside down, to show us exactly what is good and what is new. Now, okay, don't kill the messenger. Go on up to the bandshell and take your complaint up with the boss. I mean, not my boss, Pastor Los, but the big boss, Jesus, making us preach about sinners and grace and forgiveness. Doesn't he know how dangerous that is? Giving grace away for free? It's the kind of thing that can get a guy killed. I mean, he's sending the wrong message to kids and folks who need to get their life together, who need to try harder. Instead, all we get is grace and mercy and peace over and over again for free, even for the tax collector, especially for the tax collector, because he needs it. But so too does the Pharisee, the good one. Grace is free, and grace frees us. We cannot earn what God freely gives. It's already here, and it's already at hand. The good that we can do, we still should do or could do for those we share this corner of the earth with. What we do matters to others and to ourselves. Doing good is in itself the reward. I love this line from the poet W.H. Auden. He says, "For merit, the good we do, for merit lives from man to man, from person to person, and not from man, O God, to thee." God doesn't need our good works, but our neighbor sure does. God has given us everything we need for this body and this life and for the one to come. And so we sell God short when we love God in hopes of being rewarded. And we also sell God short when we love God in fear of being punished. Perfect love casts out fear. And God's love is perfect, even, especially, when ours is not. The harm that we do to ourselves, to others, it is worthwhile to correct. Not because it changes how God loves us, but because it changes us. And it's good for us and for others. We don't have to be afraid. The harm that we do, it's not ever condoned, swept under the rug. Not condoned. But it is forgiven. It is taken to the cross, to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I didn't have the privilege of growing up in faith in this church like our buddy Jack here. So faith came to me when I was in college. I was 21-year-old, a senior in college. I was new to faith and took this class in Central Mexico. And at that time, I was doing everything I could to be good, because I wanted to be good. Then I met a woman named Claudia. We went to her home. Her home was cinder blocks that were just set atop of dirt. If she had a roof, it was either open air or a tarp or that corrugated tin. She was a woman of faith, of strong faith. And she shared sweet cookies and fizzy Coca-Cola with us from the cups that she could find and wipe out. We heard about her life, her kids, the poverty that entraps her, the surgery she had to put off because she couldn't afford it. And so through a translator, I asked her, and I ask you this question too. What role does faith play in your everyday life? What role does faith play in your everyday life? Now, at that time, young in faith, I expected a checklist that looked a lot like mine. I read the Bible, I pray, I go to church, I give what I can, I don't speed. All good things. But she didn't have a checklist. She did all those things, but she simply said this: without faith, we die. Every day is a gift from God. I've never forgotten that. God wants to give you so much more than you can give yourself. You don't have to earn God's love. It is already here. Your bill's been paid in full. You are free to go and free to live. So again, I'll repeat my sermon. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.